It was one of those snowfalls, snow days. Snow everywhere, snow filled the atmosphere, snow buried everything. Snow went to the controls and put the world on pause. And there was silence. Sounds were absorbed in the deep, cold, frozen texture of white. The little boy stood at the doorway to the deck, a young foreigner to snow, but his two-year life was about to be changed forever. His eyes were blank. He didn't have any idea what he was about to see. That his young mind was about to be fully overloaded with a brand new discovery. And in the dark, his mother had gone out onto the deck's 2 feet of snow to video the little guy's discovery. Dad was in charge of sliding the sliding door ready for the room opening, for the quick opening into the darkness. And the uncle was at the light switch, getting ready to flip the lights on the deck. And the little boy's aunt was ready to lift her nephew out onto the mysterious new world of twinkling ice and frozen pillows of snow. And then it happened. In perfect time, the deck lights went on, the video started recording, the sliding door swept open, and a two-year-old boy was delivered from the warm world he knew to a world he had never seen. His eyes opened as wide as he could open them to take it all in. His mouth was opened to a giant O, and the little guy stood motionless, paralyzed. That's so much for a two-year-old. How deep is 2 feet of snow on a two-year-old? He blinked each time the snowflake tapped his face, and just behind his wide eyes, his two-year-old world was absorbing it all. White, cold, falling, sparkling, freezing, smiling. It was so much for the little guy that he simply fell into the snow. A slow motion landing into a deep, chilly cushion of whiteness. It was as if the snow was just hugging him. The little boy had given up on trying to understand snow and had just given in to experiencing the snow. And the wonder of that moment. And for a moment, the little boy came face to face with life at full force. It was so much to soak up that he didn't know whether to cry or laugh, to be afraid or happy. But one thing is for sure, that snow was wondrous. He may have experienced what it must have been like for that first moment in creation garden. When Adam and Eve's eyes couldn't comprehend the staggering beauty of God's brand new creation. Or he may have experienced what it must have been like when the scales fell from the blind man's eyes and the explosion of sight and color saturated his brain for the first time. Or when the leper felt a surge of heat and static course through his body and his withering flesh became brand new like the skin of a little two-year-old boy. Or when a broken, hopeless prostitute looked up expecting judgment and stones and certain death, but instead she heard the voice of Jesus and his words of forgiveness and life. Wondrous moments, holy moments, holy ground moments, to be in the presence of God, frightened and amazed at the same time. to feel as if you are experiencing life at its fullest, but you, your soul, is shaking like a leaf in a hurricane. Holy moments. To be in dangerous closeness to Jesus. Holy moments to be pillowed by the Holy Spirit. Holy moments when life explodes with risk and danger, and at the same time with meaning and wonder. Moments when faith is gloriously treacherous, and yet the very same faith is our only safety. Imagine being with Jesus, not knowing whether to laugh or cry, and giving in and deciding to just experience the wonder of being with Jesus. Mike Iaconelli told the story of he and his wife spending a week in L'Arche community. The word L'Arche means the ark. It's a community called Daybreak, where most of the residents were mentally or physically challenged. And countless times during their stay, the people of the community reminded Mike of little children. And what sneaked upon him and surprised him was how much the L'Arche community taught him about Jesus. Matthew 18:3 describes one of the many moments in Jesus' life when he called a little child to come close to him, and then he said to the adults, "I tell you the truth. Unless you change, become like little children, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven." That Daybrook community, who hadn't had their childlikeness stolen from them, gently led Iaconelli back to the place of wonder in the presence of Jesus. And it's true. I experienced the very same thing visiting Russian orphanages. I've experienced Jesus many times. But I've never experienced Jesus the way I experienced him in Sergei of Posad at two orphanages, one for sick children and one for deaf and blind children. And if I didn't learn anything else, I learned that if you want to truly experience Jesus, go to where Jesus is needed the most. It will be where Jesus is needed that you will experience him. The beauty and innocence of those kids, the warmth and light and welcome and love, Jesus was there as I had never experienced Jesus before. I wonder, what would happen if we all took Jesus' advice and became like little children? I wonder if that's even possible for you and me. I hope so. Why then don't more of us experience life in this way? Maybe we allow obstacles to squelch our wonder, even steal our wonder and our joy and our souls. Robert Capon wrote in his book, The Astonished Heart, he writes, We are in a war between dullness and astonishment. He says the most critical issue facing Christians is not abortion, pornography, the disintegration of the family, drugs, racism, sexuality, or even school prayer, he says. He says the critical issue today for Christians is dullness. We've lost our astonishment. The good news is no longer good news, it's okay news. Christianity is no longer life-changing, it's life-enhancing. Jesus doesn't change people into wide-eyed followers, disciples filled with wonder anymore. He changes them into nice people. Are we really interested in a Christianity that is simply about being nice? What happened to the Christianity that turned the world upside down, that spread through the first century like wildfire and was considered by those in power as being dangerous? Christians whose hearts were on fire and were fearless, who lived the truth about Jesus Christ, no matter the consequence, who made the world uncomfortable and lived lives that bothered the world's conscience. Who were willing to follow Jesus wherever he went and who were unable to get over his grace. A.W. Tozer wrote in his book, The Knowledge of the Holy, "Culture is putting out the light in men's and women's souls. Dullness is more than a religious issue, it's a cultural issue. Dullness is the absence of the light of our souls. We've lost the sparkle in our eyes, the strength of our faith, and the joy of God's salvation. Somewhere along the way, we had the child chased out of us. Our childlikeness is usually snuffed out by people who tell us what we can't do, who tell us that we're not good enough. And for some reason, we believe those things rather than to believe the voice of God that says, you are my beloved daughter, you are my beloved son, I choose you, I claim you, and you are mine. It's interesting. The Bible has a name for dream stealers. Calls them Pharisees. Strict observers of the law, but sometimes they were called hypocrites. Seems there was always conflict with the Pharisees, a blind man, a blind from birth. And Jesus gave him his dream of sight. The dream-stealing Pharisees did everything to rob the man of his dream. A woman with a questionable reputation poured expensive perfume on Jesus, and the dream-stealers in the room tried to steal her joy of gratitude. Matthew's gospel that we just heard gives us a good example. Jesus' disciples, new to the faith, were so enthusiastic to follow Jesus. They were clueless and a bit childlike, yet filled with awe and wonder. Hungry, they began to tromp through a field picking food to eat. And suddenly their dreams were wrecked by Pharisees yelling, "What are you doing? You're not to work on the Sabbath. Religion is about rules and regulations, do's and don'ts, and you're acting irresponsibly. Learn where the lines are. Now obey the Sabbath and behave like the rest of us, and we'll give you another chance." And that's when Jesus responded, "Something greater than the temple is here. If only you knew what these words mean. For the Son of Man is the Lord of the Sabbath." In effect, Jesus said to them, "You can have your rules. I'll keep giving people their dreams of an adventurous faith to experience. Jesus is the dream giver. He wants us to follow his dream for us so we can run like children in the fields of his grace. There's a glorious spiritual. The choir sings it sometimes. Spiritual is a blend of the white hymn tradition and the experiences of enslaved Africans entitled, Give Me Jesus. In the morning when I rise, in the morning when I rise, give me Jesus, give me Jesus, give me Jesus. You may have all this world, give me Jesus. Take Jesus to be your center, your home, your purpose, your example and vision. Give me Jesus. Church, I know that the world is upside down right now, so we're going to have to adapt the best we can. What if the body of Christ were to foster an atmosphere where the wonder of faith can be simply experienced and claimed, and Jesus can be re-presented to an upside divided world? Imagine being with Jesus, not knowing whether to cry or laugh, and simply letting go to just experience the wonder of faith in Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God. In a day, in a time when many are tired, on edge and angry, and thirsty, and starving for life and joy and peace, maybe it is time to become childlike again. It's time to live into this wonder of faith by letting go of anything that can hold you back from experiencing the wonder of faith in Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God. And who knows? Maybe it's time to play in the snow again. Amen.